The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh, and laughter is good medicine. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. We are so thankful. Come, Lord Jesus. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? What am I? What am I, boo-boo? What am I, boo-boo in Yellowstone Park? What? What? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. We start our Mondays the same way, consistently, faithfully, we hope, diligently. In our audience are people that can pray. A little later on, I'm going to share a great praise testimony to be coming about. But before we do, let's understand something. The people that listen in this show, on this show, all over the country and the world, are the best prayers around. They pray with fervence, they pray with diligence, they pray with faith, they pray with submission, and they pray willfully. And here it is. We're asking you right now, what can our prayer warriors, our audience, what can our prayer warriors pray for you about? How can we bless you? How can we help you? That is our question to you. If you have a response to that, or you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a different question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call, 972-445-0770. Well, by golly, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation. That's what it's like, because we're heading into the week with great faith and expectation. So I'm just going to ask you, do you have faith? Do you have expectation? That's the question that I'm asking. I'm trying to just lay it out there before you. It's one of the most amazing elements that sometimes we will revert to prayer as a last stand in a situation. And yet, the Lord calls upon us to pray always, at all events, in the beginning, in the middle, at the end. We don't just pray at the end of something when there's nothing left. We also pray when it starts, when it's in the middle, when it's in the end, at all phases. Because the Lord is involved in the beginning, in the middle, and the end, which is another reason why he's called the Alpha and the Omega. So what can we pray for you about, John? Or Romans 15:30, Paul states this. He says, join in my struggle with me by praying for me. That's what he's asking people to join him in his struggle by praying. And we will do the very same. Now, before we get to that, I want to make sure you understand a couple of different things. Number one, you can also reach out to us in other ways. So you can call us 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Again, the text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. And you may be thinking, well, talk to me. Talk to me, Dave. What's the dealios? Well, you can bring a prayer request. You can bring a praise report, something the Lord has done in the phenomenal realm. How about that? How about acknowledging that when you share a praise report or a testimony, it honors God. Most important thing there is, right there, honoring the Lord. Isaiah 43:7, we were created to bring glory to God. Come on now. That's amazing. Plus, let me say this, you also strengthen it in your own lives. Plus, you end up being a blessing to other people. Plus. So I'm just going to give you a quick praise report, and then I'll get from Jacob whatever info he's got for me here. I got this today at 11:28 a.m. from my very own daughter, Julianne Schiller. God moved a mountain. We just got the official yes to our company hiring the nurse from church, Christy. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody that's been praying for that. We want to give the Lord a praise offering because that is an awesome, awesome, awesome testimony. Prayer works. There was no way Christy should have been able to be approved. Then Julianne went to bat, sought the Lord. We began praying all over people, all over the country. 100% turnaround. The mountain has been moved, and the prayer has been answered. That is what we're talking about. Why? Because God loves us. I know just yesterday, some politician, you can do all your prayers and good thoughts all you want, doesn't matter. See how ridiculous that person is? They're talking against Jesus. You catching that? Wow. Talk about Antichrist. Hello. There you go. Even John, chapter 1 John, chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 10, 8, 9, 10, 11, all talk about the Antichrist, people that deny Jesus. Those are the people that think prayer can't work. Ouch. That hurts, right? Okay. All right, we do have something from Jacob. I think somebody called in, so I want to see what's going on. Am I correct on this?
Yes, somebody called in. They didn't want to be on the air, but they called in for a prayer request. Her name is Peggy, and she wanted you to pray for her oldest son, Davis, who has cancer. So that's her prayer request.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it right now. So, Peggy, if you're listening, we're going to pray for Davis right now as everybody's going to take their faith, my faith, your faith, all our faith together collectively and pray for Davis because he's got a cancer scenario, and that's no fun, obviously. So let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we praise you and thank you first and foremost. You make it clear, Jesus, when you set up that pattern, our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Glory unto you, the Lord God Almighty, for doing all that you've done for us, past us, through us, with us, around us, because you love us. And now we petition you as we only can. We identify you as the King of the universe, and we petition in the name of Jesus for something we can't do. But we believe you can, because we have faith. And so we're asking you to move yet another mountain, Lord God. This time it's for Davis, who's suffering from a cancer diagnosis and a situation. And Peggy's needing grace and mercy and healing power. And we don't own it, Lord. You own it. We petition you to pour it out. Touch Davis in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the power of the Holy Spirit, so we might hear yet another testimony to glorify your name. We might rejoice with Peggy. We might rejoice with one another. For we cry together, Lord, your word says, and we laugh together and cheer together. So manifest your kingdom for these people. We ask you, Lord, in your graciousness to extend it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. All right, folks, we got that rolling, right? Good, right? Okay. Was that Davis or David? What was that, Davis?
Davis.
Yeah, okay, yep. Just making sure. Okay, see, I got that right. All right, so, see, sometimes because it's so close to David, you know.
David!
Okay, anyway. All right, so let's go back to what we're talking about. You might be, it might be a praise report, might be a prayer request. It might be something that's just on your heart and mind you want to share it. The Lord's blessed you. The Lord's protected. The Lord's guided. He's provided. It's amazing how much the Lord does and how much we don't give him credit for. You know, sometimes when I'm driving down the road and I look at all the people and they're driving and they're, and then there's a lot of distractions. I mean, I think people will at least be honest about that. That, in fact, during that time, I'm amazed that the Lord has such mercy on all of us, that we're not just smashing into things. I just want to point that out to you. I think God is much more gracious and has saved us from death more times than we are aware. But at some point, we will see and know. Anyway, you are welcome to call, you are welcome to text, you are welcome to send an email, 972-445-0770 on the call, 214-210-8483 on the text, david@hemustincrease.org on the email, so that you can keep that together. You see, what's great is that we can always come before the Lord. Instead of running away from God when something's wrong or bad, or even when we're doing something wrong, run to God, not away from him. Some of us have this tendency to not pay attention to God's testimony. What is God's testimony? His testimony is when we've done something wrong. What did he do? He put it in the law. So we couldn't miss it. The priest got to come on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, one day of year, into the actual presence of God, dealing with what? The sins of the people. Instead of running from away from God, we should be running to God. Instead of hiding and putting on fake clothing, we should be empty before him and be honest and watch his healing power, his grace, and his mercy. I maintain and will fight this to the very end. We do not understand the fullness of the grace of God. How it is that we can do so many dumb things, and yet he's right there. Amazing, right? Okay. We do have somebody else on the line. Let's see what's going on. Let's go ahead and send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Samson.
Hi, Samson. How are you, brother?
Good. Hey, I want to publicly apologize to our David Spoon Experience family. On my last Friday, one of my jokes wasn't very uplifting, and I think it was a very poor choice by me. And I want to publicly confess about my poor choice and ask our family to please forgive me. And I truly apologize if I hurt it or offended anybody, so please forgive me. And I love you, and thank you for listening to this request. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. You're blessed. Do you hear me?
Thank you.
All right. God bless, bro.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Very good. You think, why is that important? Well, the Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So we pray for Santa, pray for him over the weekend that he would not take care. He said something, he shouldn't have said, okay, got it. Not like I haven't done that 5,000 times.
We'll just move on from there. Okay?
Great job, Samson. That's a great spirit, a great attitude. When we do something wrong, let me just say this. I don't care if this is bothering anybody or not. Listen, when we do something wrong, we bring it. We bring it to the Lord. So I'm sitting there and I'm reading in 1 John chapter 2 in my devotionals, and I am amazed, and this is something we'll probably get into, but I'm just overwhelmed sometimes. When you look at 1 John chapter 2, I'm opening up my Bible, which means we're going somewhere else that I wasn't planning on going, so what else is new? In 1 John chapter 2, and I want you to hear what is said, because it's an amazing, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an amazing statement we miss. My little children, So here is John writing to my little children. These aren't to Gnostics, that some scholars might say. That's absurd. There's more personal tonality in this epistle than any other epistle ever. And so, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So I'm not smart the way that, like, Robert of Robert and Rosalind are smart because they're attorney kind of people, right? But I think to some degree that when we look at the phrase advocate, I think to some degree we can, in fact, understand that an advocate in many ways is a defense attorney in many elements. Not all, but in many. And what we need to recognize is when we do dumb-dumb, and we've done dumb-dumb, we have an advocate. We have a defense attorney. We have Jesus standing for us, advocating for us on our behalf. And it's Jesus, he advocates, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, which verse 2 of 1 John 2 says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means the actual sacrifice. So Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is our sacrifice. He, as the sacrifice, comes to God the Father and on our behalf defends us. Is he defending our sin? No, he's not. He's defending the righteousness that has been put upon us because of our connection to Jesus. And I got to say this. This is something that's, I haven't said this in a long, long time. Wow. Just flooding my own heart and mind with memories of my Christian walk right now. In the beginning of my Christianity, it took me a while to get into the zones and to get, you know, really connected to the Lord. But once I started getting drawing near to God and drawing closer to God, one thing that I noticed that it was starting to become unescapable is that as I was drawing closer to the Lord, and getting closer to him. Remember, in 1 John chapter 1, in him is all light. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So when you're getting closer to him who is light, some of the stuff in us kind of pops up. Some of our darkness gets seen by us. So I spent a really long time trying to understand, boy, I'm getting closer to the Lord, but I'm seeing worse and worse. I'm seeing things in me I didn't even think were there or could still be there or function in those ways or whatever the case may be. And as I grew in the Lord, one of the things that came to me in my communion with the Lord is I have to have the same faith that Jesus loves me as I have to have that same faith that he forgives me. Do you know how many people out there who are listening to my voice right now say yes to Jesus, but then also end up agreeing with Satan when Satan accuses them? Listen, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That is his definition on his name, right? That is one of the things that he does. He comes against us. He challenges us. He says that we're no good. He did the same thing to the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Only Satan goes, if you were really a Christian. Same thing. It's the same reasoning. It's the same. And we need to be standing in the forgiveness that God grants us with the same level of faith that we believe Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and is coming back. We need to have the same faith and confidence in the mercy and the grace, the forgiveness and the kindness of God that we have had in all these other areas with God. Everybody thinks, oh, God's going to it's going to make it right. The righteous judge is going to come. It's going to get all righted. Everything's going to be switched around. That's true. But you also, and I also, need to function on a regular basis that the forgiveness of God is a part of our lives. Do you know that dumb thing you did before you were a Christian and then you became a Christian and you were like, phew. And then you find out you're amazed that you started to do other dumb things in different realms and you might have even felt worse about what you've done afterwards, going, I'm a Christian, I should know better. No, you're a Christian, and because you're redeemed, you're more aware of what you're doing and how wrong it is. because you're drawing closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're drawing closer to the light of the world. And in him is no darkness. As you draw closer, that reflection of his light shows everything, everything. And those thoughts, those words, those actions that we've all engaged with in petitioning the Lord and seeking his help, those are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you just answer this question. Is your sinning and your struggle bigger than Jesus as a Savior? That's the question we have to answer. How much does he love us that in his continued ministry, as he sent the Holy Spirit to do his ministry on the earth, at the same time, Jesus is interceding for us, defending us. He's our advocate. So listen to me. Listen to what I'm going to say. When Peter was talking to all of the people when they were making their first-time decision, right? They're making their first-time decision as Peter is talking to them in Acts chapter 2. And they're all like, oh, gosh, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? Then when you get into Acts chapter 3, and we've covered this at great length, so I don't want anybody to miss this. But we need to understand that what we come get confronted by the Lord, and there's something in us and we need to change. Here's what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 3. Verse 17, now, brethren, I know that you did this in ignorance, as did your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets and by the Christ that he would suffer has been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When you've done something wrong and you know it, own it. Just exactly what Samson did, moving on, dead, gone, under the blood, no more. But now in doing that, we open ourselves up before the Lord for times of refreshing. Can I get an unspoken amen on how many of us need times of refreshing? How many of us need that refreshment? How many of us need that renewal? How many of us need that time where you go into the Word of God and he speaks to you through his Word and you just it drops off the page and you just become alive? That's his commitment to us. That's his non-ending, I am with you forever promise. He will never abandon you now. He will never forsake us. And even when we do something wrong, and I know there's some of you out there going, Dave, you don't know. You don't know. It's bad. Here's my response. You don't know your Savior because he knows what you were going to do, did, and will do. And saved you anyway. That's the kind of Savior we serve. That's the kind of King that's in our lives. I'm telling you right now, some of you, you're bound up in some of this. And it's like, look, you don't owe your sin anything. And it taunts you. It's kind of like Goliath taunting you. Listen to this. Taunting you. I mean, is that just – you're thinking, what do you mean sin's taunting me? Listen, when God was talking to Cain and Abel, God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. He told him, hey, that sin's got an appetite. It's hungry for you, pal. That's what sin is. That's what sin does. But that's what the grace of God delivers us from. I want you to hear it. I want you to know it. I want you to embrace it. I'm sick and tired of, you know, Christians shouldn't do this. Christians shouldn't do this. Christians shouldn't do this. That's always the worldly people telling people what a Christian should be. How would they know what a Christian's like? They don't even know Jesus from a brown paper bag. It's absurd. What you are as a Christian is forgiven. The blood of Jesus is greater than your stupidities. And it's of more value than all the gold in all the world. That's the payment God made for you. The blood of Jesus Christ. So once you've acknowledged it, and once you've come before the Lord and God, help, which I think still is the greatest prayer ever, help. You need to be a receiver a receiver of the forgiveness of God. And let me tell you this, the more you receive the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that comes from God, the more you extend it. Because the more you take in, the more you're capable of sharing. And some of you are kind of like, well, I can't forgive this person, or I can't forgive this, I can't forgive this. Well, that's something much deeper going on than you just can't forgive. It's because you're not forgiving yourself, maybe even for getting caught in the whole thing, caught up in the whole thing in the first place. Here's what I'm trying to say. God loves you. He chose you. He wants to spend eternity with you. He doesn't spend eternity with somebody he doesn't like. That's just dumb. And God wants to spend eternity with you, personally, you. And your sins are forgiven as a Christian in the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, by his blood. Colossians 1:20, by his cross. Those sins, no, gone. Sorry, wiped out. Now what are we doing? Getting to look like, be like, function like, think like, speak like, do like Jesus. As God is releasing his billboards of Jesus all over the planet. That's a mighty powerful kingdom, isn't it? It's still advancing 2,000 years later. That's how powerful it is. That's how much God loves you and I. And some of you are out there and you're like, wow, is this all part of it? Is this all part of the plan? No. This is all impromptu because the Lord is trying to say something to people. Receive my forgiveness. You are forgiven. That is what the Lord speaks to his people. Okay? All right, cool. All right, we will take our break and then come back, see what happens then. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned, which is, you know, it's, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me. I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the freedom for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's our – you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You need to understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, smart, not smart, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, it's the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free. I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.